ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 1 एंटाइटल्ड एडवेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण इंट्रोडक्शन टेक्स्ट नंबर 16 वासुदेव कथा प्रश्न पुरुषं स्त्रीं पुनन्तिः वक्तारं प्रच्छकं स्तोत्रिं तत्पादसलिलं यथा वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद द गैंजेस एमिनेटिंग फ्रॉम द टो ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु प्यूरिफाइज द थ्री वर्ल्ड्स द अपर मिडिल एंड लोअर प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम्स Similarly, when one asks questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Lord Vasudev, Krishna, three varieties of men are purified, the speaker or preacher, he who inquires, and the people in general who listen. Purport. It is said, Tasmad Gurum Prapadyate Jidnyasu Shreya Uttamam. This is from Bhagavatam 11.3.21. Those interested in understanding transcendental subject matters as the goal of life must approach the bona fide spiritual master. Tasmad Gurum Prapadyate. One must surrender to such a guru who can give right information about Krishna. Herein, Maharaj Parikshit has surrendered to the right personality, Sukadeva Goswami, for enlightenment in Vasudeva Katha. Vasudeva is the original personality of Godhead, who has unlimited spiritual activities. Srimad Bhagavatam is a record of such activities, and Bhagavad Gita is the record of Vasudeva's speaking personally. Therefore, since the Krishna consciousness movement is full of Vasudeva Katha, anyone who hears, anyone who joins the movement, and anyone who preaches will be purified. First of all, I would like to beg blessings from all of you before I can speak something on this most exalted text, Srimad Bhagavatam, and particularly the verse today. No qualification to speak, as it says, the speaker should be elevated. Of course, audience is elevated, but the speaker is not elevated. But still, for my purification and glorification of the Lord, I will try to speak on this verse. So, as we have been discussing all these days till the text 15, so this 10th canto till the 15th text, it is most of the verses, they are showing eagerness of Parikshit Maharaj to hear Krishna Katha, which is a prerequisite for all of us, because that unless we are not eager, then Krishna Katha will not enter our heart. So here in 10th canto, as we have discussed, just to summarize, that in the first two verses, Parikshit Maharaj is encouraging Sukadeva Goswami to speak more Krishna Katha, because till now Sukadeva Goswami had spoken in brief, and now he wants that he should speak in detail. So he is genuinely glorifying Sukadeva Goswami by saying, Bhavata, by your lordships. He is saying, by your lordship. And he is saying, Muni Sattama, you are the best of the munis, best of the devotees. So, and now, in the text 15, day before yesterday, as we read, that Sukadeva Goswami, in turn, now he is answering his questions. He will be answering the questions. Parikshit Maharaj has asked 8 questions, and now he started answering. And these two verses, particularly before he starts Krishna Katha, from the 17th verse. So here Sukadeva Goswami is glorifying Maharaj Parikshit. He is saying to him, O your majesty. So such wonderful reciprocation between disciple and the spiritual master. So the lesson which I thought we can learn, that as it is explained in the previous verse, that both the speaker and the hearer, that is the spiritual master and the disciple, they are both exalted, in this case Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, because of their common interest to hear Krishna Katha. So here we see in this text the exalted position of both of them is been stressed, the need to approach a guru and surrender, and that will lead to purification. So in this particular context, Maharaj Parikshit has been genuinely glorifying Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami is genuinely glorifying Maharaj Parikshit. He is not flattering. In ordinary material world, everyone just flatters one another. Is flattering so artificial, based on mundane things? Just to get the things done, a person flatters other. He wants to get the things done. He wants something. That's why it's not genuine most of the time. It's just he wants something. He has some ulterior motive. But here, it's not like that. This is not flattering. This is glorification. Flattering is artificial, but glorification is genuine. So here, they are really glorifying each other. That is, on that basis, actually the relationship is established between guru and disciple, because of the common interest. Because the disciple is sincerely inquiring about Krishna, and because of his eagerness, he wants to hear more about Krishna, and the spiritual master is more eager to speak, to glorify the Lord. So the real relationship is based on genuine glorification of the Lord. When the Lord is in the center, then the relationships is tangible, and it really works. That relationship, it really works. Otherwise, after some time, if it's only on mundane things, mundane talk and mundane relationship, then relationship gets spoiled. And therefore we see that so many, nothing to criticize, but we can learn lesson. So much is been talked about Krishna, so many kathas going on, but still after the katha, actual transformation is not taking place. Why? Because that genuine relationship is not been established. And that genuine relationship is established only when we learn how to glorify the Lord in a disciplic succession from bona fide guru. Though such kathas or such lecturing will be a pious activity, though it will purify to some extent, but the whole purpose of Bhagavatam is to not just know Krishna, but to realize Krishna. Otherwise, by reading, we can have all the details about Krishna's pastimes, but that is not the aim. The aim is to realize, not just to know, but to realize, which is next step of knowing. Knowing is one thing. One can know Krishna scholastically by his aptitude. If he has tremendous mental capacity and he is really scholarly, he can just go through the pages of Bhagavatam and he can understand Bhagavatam, left and right, from all this, from first canto to 12th canto. But to realize is the next step, which here Parikshit Maharaj is exemplifying by his humble submissive attitude. And therefore, in this particular verse which we are going to discuss today, it is three aspects are being stressed, that one need to approach a bona fide guru, and Parikshit Maharaj had the right approach to understand the real goal of life. So he approached Sukadeva Goswami, who is a bona fide devotee of the Lord. And right approach lead to surrender. Parikshit Maharaj surrendered to Sukadeva Goswami. And therefore, now from the next verse, Krishna will be manifesting in his different pastimes. Actually, the pastime of Krishna will start from the next verse. And all these verses, they form a platform from where actually Krishna will manifest in his Leela. Though Krishna is non-different from the Leela, but the Leela to manifest, this is the background which has been created in all these 16 verses. So today, we'll try to discuss about the exalted position of Sukadeva Goswami along with the exalted position of Parikshit Maharaj. We'll take some examples, because this particular purport, it stresses the importance of the spiritual master and guru, the guru and his disciple, and then the audience is benefited by hearing their conversation. So another example which strike to is between Vidura and Maitreya Muni from the third canto. We'll take that example, we'll see in short. And the third and the most important, like which we can relate directly, these are Shastric examples, we can relate, no doubt, but still directly we can relate, is the meeting between His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada and His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So how actually this meeting actually transformed Prabhupada's heart. And because of that, Prabhupada joined Lord Chaitanya's movement. He was a nationalist. And then we can see that we are here only because Prabhupada left the nationalistic ideas and became part of Lord Chaitanya's mission. That is Krishna's pastime. Krishna made him an instrument. But that is how real transformation takes place. So in first canto, when Shaunak Adi Rishi, he was asking questions to Sukadeva Suta Goswami. They have asked the six questions and now they are he is replying to those questions from the second chapter. So in second chapter of first canto, the second verse, Suta Goswami first glorifies Sukadeva Goswami. So he is saying very beautiful two verses glorifying Sukadeva Goswami that shows a genuine relationship between the guru and a disciple. He is glorifying he by saying, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the great sage Sukadeva Goswami, who can enter hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher castes, his father Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, oh, my son, indeed, only the trees were absorbed in the same feelings of separation, echoed in response to the begrieved father. So here, Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul, completely detached from all material things, and he just walked out to the forest. And Vyasadeva, being his father, he wanted to teach him Srimad Bhagavat. So here, Vyasadeva is crying, oh my son, please. He is trying to hold him back. So Jiva Goswami, Bhurijan Prabhu writes in his book, that Jiva Goswami comments that the reply was actually Krishna himself sounding through the trees. That he adds further that the trees were feeling separation, the same depth of separation from Sukadeva Goswami because of Sukadeva Goswami's purity. So Vyasadeva was actually disappointed. He wanted to teach Srimad Bhagavat to Sukadeva Goswami, but Sukadeva Goswami been completely liberated. He was walking to the forest. So therefore, at that time, they were discussing the Srimad Bhagavat, and Sukadeva Goswami happened to hear few verses from Srimad Bhagavat, and he was attracted. And he returned to the hermitage of Vyasadeva to hear more about Krishna. So the first lesson which we learn from this particular aspect regarding the exalted position of Sukadeva Goswami, that if we hear sincerely and with eagerness, then it has to lead to attraction to Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami was attracted to Krishna and immediately returned to the hermitage to hear more about Krishna. He learned, and then what happened is explained in the next verse. So Sukadeva Goswami is again, he is glorifying Sukadeva Goswami by saying, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who out of great compassion for the gross materialist who struggled to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. Swa Anubhav, the word is used, that he personally assimilated. He realized it was not just knowing Krishna, but he had realized. So that makes him exalted. So hearing leads to attraction to Krishna, and when one person is really attracted to Krishna, then when someone is attracted to someone, then he likes to speak about that person. So that's natural. So because Sukadeva Goswami was attracted to Krishna, definitely he wanted to speak about Krishna. So here it is said, out of compassion, he spoke this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam for the first time. So that therefore, Vyasadeva's position is exalted because he spoke Srimad Bhagavat. Sukadeva Goswami heard because he was attracted towards Krishna's pastimes, and therefore it led to the whole Srimad Bhagavatam which we are reading now. So the audience is also getting purified. So such is the relationship between bona fide guru and disciple. When such questions are asked about Krishna, then it benefits not only the speaker, but also the hearer, but and along with that, the audience. The questions and answers, the quality of questions and answers, the quality of the questions and answers asked will be dependent upon the caliber of the person. So they are such exalted great souls that we can know the quality of their questions they were asking. They were not asking for any dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Srimad Bhagavat directly kicks out all these things. They were asking directly about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, that position of both Sukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva has been said here, that how they are exalted. Another example is of Maharaj Parikshit. So this is just in short about, so much can be said, but in short about Sukadeva Goswami, his exalted position, and now Parikshit Maharaj. It's already, we have discussed about Parikshit Maharaj's eagerness and his humble, submissive attitude, but he had that faith in Sukadeva Goswami, and therefore he surrendered to him. Because unless one doesn't have faith, one cannot surrender. In our cases also, if we don't have faith in authority, we don't surrender. We don't hear many times, at least it happens to me. Because we are not surrendered, we don't have faith in what they are telling us. So therefore, we don't surrender. So Parikshit Maharaj here, he had complete faith that Sukadeva Goswami is going to speak real nectar. So he had complete faith and therefore he surrendered. And that led him to actually fearlessness. And in the previous two, just two shlokas back, he says that I am completely indifferent to hunger and thirst. Why? Because he was completely absorbed in hearing Krishna Katha. And therefore, in the first canto, it is said that he sat down on the bank of Ganges before this whole narration came till 10th canto. This is the fourth day. So he sat down on the bank of Ganges and he was actually appreciating that he got the mercy of the Lord because the mercy came in form of Sukadeva Goswami, because he was speaking Krishna Katha to him. And therefore he is asking, he is praying to that if he doesn't go home back to Godhead, but at least he should get association of pure devotees like Sukadeva Goswami. So such is the exalted position of Maharaj Parikshit, that because of his faith, he had a right approach to Sukadeva Goswami that led to surrender. And surrender, as here it is explained, leads to purification. And purification means to become fearless. And when one is actually fearless, then he acknowledges Krishna's presence. And when one acknowledges Krishna's presence, then actually he knows the real importance of Krishna's devotee, association of devotees. Because only in association, Krishna can manifest. So therefore, this is the exalted position of Maharaj Parikshit, which we see in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Another example is from Maitreya Rishi, Maitreya Rishi and Vidur. In third canto, it is said, just like Maharaj Parikshit was eager, Vidur was also eager to hear Krishna Katha. Vidur didn't leave the palace of Pandavas because in the palace of Pandavas, Krishna was staying, and wherever is this Krishna, it is actually Vrindavan, Prabhupada writes in the purport. So actually there was no reason for Vidur to leave the palace because Krishna was present, so there was Vrindavan. But he left exclusively to hear more about Krishna from Maitreya Rishi, to gain more transcendental knowledge. That is the reason actually why Vidura left. And he asked so many questions regarding, and he was completely fatigued with all mundane politics and all these things. He was asking so many questions which are not directly related to Krishna. But then he said to Maitreya Muni that now I want to hear about the narrations of Krishna's pastimes. So please narrate those pastimes. So here it is said that Vidura is said is a liberated soul, a pure Vaishnav, pure devotee of the Lord. It is said in third canto that he is Achyuta Bhava Siddha, that he had perfected his life by devotional service. But though he was liberated, he wanted to hear more about Krishna. Why? Because even though in the first canto, the Atmaramascha Munayo, that verse, it is said that even though a person may be liberated, these liberated souls, they are attracted by the transcendental attributes of the Lord, qualities of the Lord. And they want to engage themselves. They are free from material bondage, but still they want to engage in devotional service of the Lord. So all these examples of liberated souls like Sukadeva Goswami Vidura. They are completely absorbed, but still they want to hear more and more about Krishna. That is the power of Krishna Katha. The more you hear with that proper attitude, the more you are attracted. And therefore, the Vidura, he came to the bank of Ganges where Maitreya Rishi was sitting, and he approached him with an inquiry because he wanted to know more about Krishna. And therefore, he is saying, he is glorifying Maitreya Rishi, and Maitreya Rishi in turn is glorifying Vidura. So Vidura is glorifying Maitreya Rishi by saying that you all great souls like yourself, they traverse on the earth on behalf of Supreme Personality of Godhead to show compassion to the souls who are averse to the sense of subordination to the Lord. To the obedient, to be obedient to the wishes of the Supreme Lord is a natural position of living entity, but due to past misdeeds, a living being becomes averse to the sense of subordination to the Lord and suffers all miseries of material existence. So he is glorifying Maitreya Rishi that your good self, by your association, by hearing Krishna Katha from you, what happens? That it awakens the sense of subordination. That Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we are His servant. So hearing Krishna Katha leads to awakening that we are subordinate to Krishna. And material energy is so powerful that we think that we are the Lord. We don't think we are subordinate. And therefore we are suffering. If we understand that we are subordinate to Krishna, then definitely the whole problem is solved. The whole problem is that we don't feel that we are subordinate. So that is the power of association or hearing from a great soul that that awakens the sense of subordination to the Lord. In this way, he is glorifying Maitreya Rishi, and then he is saying, Vidura is further saying to Maitreya Rishi, Sa Shraddha Dhanasya Vivardhamana Viraktim Anyatra Karoti Pumsa Harer Pada Anusmruti Nivritasya Samasta Dukha Payam Ashnudate. For one who is anxious to engage constantly in hearing such topics of Krishna Katha, it will gradually, Krishna Katha gradually increases his indifference towards all other things. Such constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna by the devotee who has achieved transcendental bliss vanquishes all miseries without delay. So that is another lesson we can learn, that hearing with faith will lead to that all the miseries will be vanquished. And therefore further, Vidura is saying to Maitreya Rishi that please describe in essence the topics of Lord Shri Krishna. Please chant the superhuman activities of Supreme Controller, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. So therefore, this is the exalted position of Vidura, that he was always Achyuta Bhava Siddha, he was always absorbed in the thought of Lord, and he was son of Vyasdev. That is another exalted, that's why he is exalted, and he was eternal associate of the Supreme Lord. He is Yamraj, he is Mahajan. So therefore, here it is said that Maitreya Rishi is further telling Vidura what is best for all of us. He is saying the highest perfectional gain for humanity. Very nice shloka. Maitreya Rishi is saying to Vidura, after all this conversation, he is asking so many questions, then Maitreya Rishi is telling to Vidura, Ekanta labham vachasastu pumsam shushloka mauler gunavadam sahu Shrutescha vidvabhir upakritayam katha sudhayam upasamprayogam. The highest perfectional gain of humanity is to engage in discussions of the activities and the glories of the pious actor. Such activities are so nicely arranged in the writing by the great learned sages that the actual purpose of the ear is served just by being near to them, just by being near them. So therefore, hearing, so much emphasis is given for hearing from self-realized souls, that the proper use of the ear and tongue is achieved. So all these different relationships between a bona fide speaker and a submissive inquirer, you will find such beautiful relationship which is based on discussing Krishna Katha. And one more example we will take is from Srila Prabhupada's life. His first meeting with Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur Prabhupada. As we know, we have read Lilamrut. Prabhupada was a nationalist at that time. After completing his college, he was a nationalist, follower of Gandhi. He was wearing khadi. And we know the first beautiful historical meeting between Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. It's actually the intervention of his friend, Narendra Narendranath Mulik, who actually pulled him to go and visit Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur at the Ultadanga temple in Calcutta. So here beautifully it is narrated in the Lilamrut by Satsurup Maharaj. So the discussion about this particular meeting, it goes that, like that Narendra Mulik, he pulls him. He at that time Prabhupada was, his name was Abhay Babu. He pulled him and they entered into the room where Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur was sitting with his disciples. And as soon as they entered, they prostrated themselves in front of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. And by the time they got up, it is very nicely explained in Lilamrut. Before striking any conversation with them, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur immediately said, "You are educated young men, why don't you preach Lord Chaitanya's message throughout the whole world?" No conversation, nothing. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur didn't know Prabhupada, and Prabhupada had never seen Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, but immediately. And Prabhupada was shocked, it is said, that he could hardly believe what he had just said. Because Prabhupada had so deeply, he had that, he was a nationalist, so he thought that how come it's, so he's boldly speaking that you should join this movement. And we see gradually as we proceed in this particular pastime of Srila Prabhupada, how actually Prabhupada was convinced by the speech of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. He was speaking, he went on speaking, and Prabhupada was actually arguing with him. It's a whole different, whole pastime given very elaborately, but we will not discuss in elaborate way because we have short time. So Prabhupada, what actually convinced him? Actually, it is explained that because Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur was speaking with so much conviction about Lord Chaitanya's movement, we will read one passage which is most powerful, very inspiring, that because of his strength of conviction, he was rejecting anyone except Lord Chaitanya. He was so much emphasizing that this movement of the Lord Chaitanya's mission has to be spread. And he was practically rejecting all politicians, leaders, and practically he was rejecting any leader who didn't accept that we are not this body, we are soul. Eternal servant of Lord. So such powerful presentation he was making. And because of that strength of conviction, Prabhupada was actually impressed. He was speaking so boldly. And Prabhupada was arguing that Prabhupada actually said, who will listen to Lord Chaitanya's movement unless we get independence? So Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, very historically, this is a revolutionary statement, he said, replied in a deep voice saying that Krishna consciousness did not have to wait for a change in Indian politics, nor it was dependent on who ruled. Krishna consciousness was so important, so exclusively important, that it could not wait. So Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur is completely convinced of this fact that independence is not going to solve the problem. And still we see that it's not solved the problem. So Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur was so much convinced of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. So real independence actually is to become dependent on the Supreme Lord. So that is the real thing which Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur wanted to convey. And therefore he was so emphatic, he was so bold in his speech. And that actually impressed Abhay Babu, and that lead actually to join Chaitanya's movement, as we will see in the future pastime how it built up. So Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, very nicely one paragraph we will read. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur continued, he spoke with such emphasis, whether one power or another ruled was a temporary situation, but the reality is Krishna consciousness and the real self is the spirit soul. No man-made political system therefore could actually help humanity. This was the verdict of the Vedic scriptures and the line of spiritual masters. Although everyone is an eternal servant of God, when one takes himself to be a temporary body and regards the nation of his birth as worshipable, he comes under illusion. The leaders and followers of the world's political movements, including the movement for Swaraj, were simply cultivating this illusion. Real welfare work, whether individual, social, political, should help prepare a person for his next life and help him re-establish his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur had already presented his ideas in many of his writings. And one of his writings, he says, there will not be such benefactors of the highest merit as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees have been. So he's saying, there is no one greater than Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya and his followers. So therefore, you should take up this movement. You should preach in English. The offer of other benefits is only a deception. It is rather a great harm, whereas the benefit done by him and his followers is the truest and greatest eternal benefit. This benefit is not for one particular country causing mischief to another, but it benefits the whole universe. The kindness that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown to the jivas absolves them eternally from three things. It absolves them eternally from all wants, from all inconveniences, and from all distresses. That kindness does not produce any evil, and the jivas who have it will not be the victims of the evils of the world. Such powerful presentation Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur made that led that Prabhupada appreciation. Prabhupada so much appreciated. So that is the power of hearing from a bona fide guru, a pure devotee of the Lord. That one hears from a pure devotee, it leads to appreciation. So Prabhupada appreciated, being from a Vaishnava background, he had already worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His family members, his father had taught him to worship Radha and Krishna. So it was not something new for him. But now, whatever his father and his family had given, his family lineage had given, it was solidified. That he came to know that actually how important it is to be a part of Lord's mission, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So he genuinely appreciated by hearing from Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, and that actually transformed his ideas. Actually, and then it is written that he felt that he is part of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's movement rather than being a nationalist. By just this small conversation, it took around 2 hours, it is explained, but this 2 hour conversation actually transformed Prabhupada. Of course, Prabhupada is a Paramahamsa Vaishnava, but through this pastime, you can know that actually his heart transformed from nationalist, that he became a follower of Lord Chaitanya. Though he was a follower, but now he was totally convinced that we have to be part of this particular movement or this particular mission. So therefore, as the whole conversation took place, and then they were just they paid their obeisances and they were walking away. So Narendra Mulik, his friend, he asked him, "What is your impression?" Because Prabhupada was so reluctant to visit any sadhu, because in his childhood, so many sadhus would come. Gormon Day used to invite so many sadhus, and many where Prabhupada said that they were not of good caliber. Many of them, they smoke ganja. But because Gormon Day, he saw that they are sannyasis and he actually respected them. He called them, he fed them. And Prabhupada knew all these sadhus. They were not very up to the mark. So therefore, Prabhupada was reluctant to visit. But Narendra Mulik, he pulled him. And therefore, he was asking, "What is the impression?" And Prabhupada replied, "He's wonderful. The message of Lord Chaitanya is in the hands of very expert person." And there is a small quotation. It is said, Prabhupada said that I accepted him as my spiritual master immediately. Not officially, but in my heart. I was thinking that I have met a really nicely saintly person. So Prabhupada, just a moment's association, we can say. 2 hours and whole transformation. And he decided that he is my spiritual master and I have to be a part of Lord Chaitanya's movement. Though it took some time for Prabhupada to be actually the part, because gradually the things come up, but at heart he really felt that he is my real spiritual master and I have to be the part of his mission. So that is the power of hearing from a bona fide guru. Therefore it purifies. So if we just hear this beautiful pastime of Prabhupada with Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, we are getting purified. We can see so much conviction in Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's speech, and which led to completely convince Srila Prabhupada that he has to leave these nationalistic ideas and become a part of Lord Chaitanya's mission. So therefore, another lesson we can learn from this particular pastime of Srila Prabhupada, that by hearing from a bona fide spiritual master what happened in Prabhupada's life, though he was a Vaishnava, but it awakened his Krishna consciousness million times. So hearing from a bona fide spiritual master, therefore it will awaken our Krishna consciousness, which is there because the soul is eternal servant of the Lord. To love Krishna is natural for the soul. So that awakening will take place when we hear from a bona fide spiritual master or his representative in disciplic succession. And then when one is awakened, then what happens? That he gets all the answers to his questions. Just like Prabhupada was skeptical, he was doubtful about the Lord Chaitanya's movement initially, and he kept on asking questions. But he started getting answers to all his questions. And once he accepted Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur as his spiritual master, Prabhupada says, I never asked a question to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. This is all before he accepted spiritual master. Once he had accepted Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Prabhupada says, I never asked a question. That doesn't mean we should not question, but the whole thing, that means he was so convinced that there was no doubt about it. Why questions arise? Because of doubt. So there was no question, there was no doubt about it. So therefore he never questioned, except for one question he asked. That we'll see in short, that he always asked, how can I serve? How can I serve you? So he got answers to all the questions, and then because he got all the answers to his questions, he was convinced. So similarly, we can get convinced by hearing from proper source, and which will lead to satisfaction, and this will lead to ultimately surrendering our lives in the service of Guru and Krishna, and that will actually purify our existence. This is what today's purport says, that anyone who hears, anyone who speaks, anyone who listens, and the audience, all are benefited. So just from all these pastimes, you can see that the audience is also benefited. Just by hearing this pastime, so much hope. I read it twice from Leelamrut, and it gave so much hope that actually we should preach this message. Many times we get so much depressed. No, today we'll not do this thing. Okay, we'll postpone, keep on postponing our preaching engagements. But this shows that how much is the need to preach Krishna consciousness. Such hope-giving pastime. And in glorification actually of a guru, in first canto, the sages of Naimisharanya actually, they glorified Suta Goswami by saying that actually, O Suta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the water of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. So that doesn't minimize the importance of Ganges, but it rather put emphasis on the association of a pure devotee. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, we can see, such is the power of a pure devotee, that it transformed Abhay Babu's heart. And therefore we are here today because in staying in ISKCON and hearing about Krishna Katha. So that is the transformation. So therefore the same shloka, that Ganges purifies all the three planetary systems. But one who speaks, hears, and the audience, all are benefited. So such is the exalted position of a great Vaishnava. And therefore in one of the purports, it is said that the pure devotees of the Lord are more powerful than the Ganges because they are wise lords. Just like president, vice president, is it not? So they are wise lords according to the revealed scriptures. So therefore, acceptance of such spiritual master and representatives in disciplic succession will lead to purification. So that is the exalted position of a spiritual master. And then in short, we will just discuss about Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, his second meeting. Of course, there so many times Prabhupada came in contact with him, but after this first meeting, mostly Prabhupada was associating with the Gaudiya Math devotees, and he started reading literature written by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And then in 1932, Bhaktivedanta Thakur had arranged Vrajamandal Parikrama, and it was a long tour with thousands of devotees coming for the Parikrama. And Prabhupada at that time, he was in Allahabad doing his business in Prayag Pharmacy, but somehow he found time on the 20th day, short visit, maybe 1 or 2 days, and he came to Vrindavan, and at that time they were having their camp at Koshi, outskirts of Vrindavan, and there Prabhupada thought that I will stay a day or two to hear about Krishna Katha. And very nice instance there happened that evening Bhaktivedanta Thakur was going to speak, but there were two options, that they were going to visit Sheshashayi Vishnu, which is there in that area, and there was option that they could hear to Bhaktivedanta Thakur. So most of the people, they left for seeing, taking darshan of Sheshashayi Vishnu, and Prabhupada said, what I can see Sheshashayi Vishnu, better I stay back and I hear from my spiritual master. And only it is said, very nicely explained in Lilamrut, that only 10 to 12 devotees were there. And Prabhupada was one of them. And it went long. It went for 2 hours. And gradually everyone left. And there were few sannyasis left out of 10 or 12. And Bhaktivedanta Thakur, he was speaking. He was going on speaking Krishna Katha. And Prabhupada was there. So therefore, we can see the intensity, intense desire to hear from spiritual master. Actually, that is the qualification. Prabhupada says that because I heard, I thought that I can speak in future nicely. So Prabhupada says, if you hear nicely, then you can speak nicely. Because to speak nicely means you have to hear. Hearing means to follow, imbibe those instructions in our own life, and then only we can speak. Because it's not something artificial. It's not to show we are a good orator. Bhagavatam class or speaking about Krishna is not to show our art of public speaking. Rather than, it's more about something to do with the heart. So Prabhupada said that it's because I heard, I thought that in future I can speak very nicely. So Prabhupada heard with such eagerness, such intensity, and therefore we can see his purports, so powerful purports he has spoken, which actually transforming hundreds and thousands of lives, and it will be transforming for next 10,000 years. So these books will be transforming so many people's lives, and so many people's lives have been transformed. So therefore, that is the power of Krishna Katha. And just a last instant, which was very inspiring to me, that all these things happened gradually. He started associating more and more. And then, when the time of initiation, after this meeting, immediately in 1932, just 1 month after that, Prabhupada came to know that Bhaktivedanta Thakur is coming to Allahabad. And he was really surprised that within a short time, it's Krishna's arrangement. And he came to know that he is giving initiation. And he asked actually if he can get initiated. And at that time, Atulanand Brahmachari, he was a temple president. And he said, yes, I will recommend your name. And then the meeting took place between Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and him. And it is the second time that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was face to face seeing him. And he recognized him immediately. And he said the revolutionary statement, yes, I know him. I have recognized him. He likes to hear. He never goes away. And such hope-giving statement that Prabhupada said, that actually that deepened his relationship with his spiritual master. So hearing leads to appreciation. He appreciated Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And because of his appreciation, what happened actually, that his eternal relationship with his spiritual master was solidified. It was deepened, Prabhupada says. And then Prabhupada actually, before Bhaktivedanta Thakur left, he offered in his Vyas Puja a very nice poem, very revolutionary poem, and out of that, Bhaktivedanta Thakur was very much impressed. He came to know that Abhay Babu or Srila Prabhupada has understood his mood. He actually wrote, absolute ascension, though has proved, impersonal calamity, though has mood. So Bhaktivedanta Thakur understood that he has the mood of Prabhupada, that is understood, that how the captured essence of Lord Chaitanya's preaching against the Mayavadis. And therefore he said that whatever he writes, one should publish. So therefore, since then, it was all published. Whatever Abhay Babu wrote, Prabhupada wrote, it was been published by the Gaudiya Math authorities. So therefore, from this particular instance, we can see that the genuine relationship between spiritual master and disciple. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, when he was about to leave, Prabhupada wrote him a letter that all your disciples are sannyasis, brahmacharis, they are doing direct service, and I give sometimes some monetary, I offer some monetary assistance to the math, but I am not able to serve you directly. So Prabhupada wrote, how can I serve you? Is there any particular service I can do? And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur replied within 2 weeks. We'll just read and we'll stop. So he is saying, I am fully confident that you can explain in English our thought and argument to the people who are not conversant with the languages of the other members. This will do good to yourself as well your audience. I have every hope that you can turn yourself into a very good English preacher if you serve the mission to inculcate the novel impression of Lord Chaitanya's teaching in the people in general, as well as the philosophers and religionists. And at that time, Prabhupada recognized the same instruction which he was given in 1922, that you should preach Lord Chaitanya's movement. And he took it as a confirmation. And this particular letter, Prabhupada said, he read again and again when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur left. And this letter, actually, Prabhupada says that by this letter, he could conquer the feeling of loss of separation from Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. So such is the power of hearing from a bona fide spiritual master. So all these instances, we saw the example of Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, Vidur, Maitreya Rishi, and Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, that the genuine relationship was based on discussing Krishna Katha. So therefore, the exalted position of devotee is based on discussing Krishna Katha. So this is what is explained, that one who speaks, he will be purified. One who hears, and also one who inquires, and also the audience. All the three types of people are benefited by hearing Krishna Katha. So last statement we will read. It is said, therefore, this Krishna conscious movement is full of Vasudeva Katha. So anyone who hears, anyone who joins, just like Prabhupada joined the movement, and actually because he joined, we are getting purified. Similarly, we are also hearing Krishna Katha, and in future also so many will join. And anyone who joins this movement, the glory of this movement is, our movement is of purification. They will gradually get purified and we can enter into the Krishna Katha, which will be narrated from tomorrow. So we'll stop. Sorry for exceeding the time. Hare Krishna. Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.